because your people are here and you desire to speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that that's exactly what you would do tonight as we continue our journey through the book of Job. Lord, a challenging narrative, Father, a challenging story. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to glean from it indeed those things which will cause us to be better disciples, Father, to have a better understanding, Lord, of our relationship with you and our relationship with others. I pray, Father, that our hearts would be soft to you, that our minds would be sharp, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, Lord. He would be our teacher tonight. And we ask, Father, in the strong name of Jesus, amen. We'll turn to the book of Job, chapter 6. Job chapter 6. As we know, Job is under attack. He's under attack spiritually as the evil one has come against him. He's under attack personally as he suffers the loss of most everything that he has in life. And in the midst of all of that, we see his friends come to comfort him from afar. And for the first 7 days, they do a pretty good job because they didn't say a thing. But then they began to speak. Eliphaz began to speak, and it wasn't very long before we began to see an accusatory tone where they began to accuse Job of things that we know aren't true. Matter of fact, later on, as we get farther into the book of Job, they are called miserable comforters, because that's exactly what they were, miserable comforters. And Eliphaz, in chapter 4, as he's talking with Job, he says, you know, you gave advice to others. Now you need to follow the advice that you have given. And so Job is going to respond to Eliphaz. And we read, but Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth a wild ass bray when he has grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory or tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are my sorrowful meat. Job responds to them and essentially says, you don't understand the depth of my pain, the weightiness of my pain. It is weighty like the weight of sand. He says, I'm not crying for nothing. And it was a bitter cry. We know that. The words of Eliphaz were tasteless, if you will, to Job, like a white of an egg. Rather than being an encourager and a comforter, he was a confronter. And Job speaks to that. He says, oh, verse 8, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me. So now it's almost as if he hearkens back to the beginning where he's pleading for death. He said, it would just be better if I would die. And he goes on that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort? Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? He says, I just don't want to go on. What is the use? You know, as we read through this story, it is one of those things that we can relate to at different times in our lives. where we have that conversation with God. I just don't want to go on. I just don't want to deal with these things. I am out of strength and I want relief. I just need to have a bit of relief. And he goes on, verse 14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. That was a zinger, if you will. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the streams of brooks, they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came together and were ashamed. Now, for now you are nothing. You see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Job essentially says in those verses, he says, I expected kindness, but that kindness was absent. It was a learning process. When you should have been bringing comfort to me, it was only a mirage. That stream that should have been refreshing dried up. It's only a mirage. It's only an appearance without substance. And he's in his mind, he's trying to work out, figure out what's going on in this whole situation, in this circumstance, and why are my friends treating me in this fashion? He goes on, verse 24, teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand where I've erred. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? Do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, you overwhelm the fatherless and you dig a pit for your friend. Now, therefore, be content. Look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Job would say to them, it's easy to think that you know, but you're wrong. And a misdiagnosis can be deadly. We know that in the physical sense, but it's also true in the spiritual and emotional sense. He says there in verse 27, he says, you guys, rather than building up your friend, you're undermining your friend. And then he challenges them in verse 28. He says, I want you to look me in the eye and think again about your judgment. It's a challenge to us as well, I would suggest, in how we deal with other people when they're going through difficult things. It's easy to think that we know what they're going through, when in fact we don't know it all. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for knowledge. We need to pray for compassion for people and not be so quick to think we have an answer. In verse 1 of chapter 7, we read, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as a hireling looks for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. As I read that, I said, I can relate to that sometimes. And I think perhaps you can too. My flesh is closed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Job would say to his friends, guys, I just cannot get away from my suffering. There's no place that I can find. And Job is coming to that place really where he's losing hope that things will get better. The intensity of life and the possibility of death, he's run up against it. And he says, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Therefore, verse 11, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. So he's having nightmares at night rather than getting rest, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Interesting prayer to say, God, let me alone. I don't know that that's a wise prayer. We can find ourselves like Job, but I would suggest we never want God to let us alone. And it is really a fruitless prayer because he's always already promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we can find ourselves there asking for things that we really don't want in the final analysis. He goes on in verse 17, what is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldst visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. In a sense, Job say, could you give that blessing to another? What have I done, Lord? Why is this happening to me? And so we get the second friend, Bildad, is going to now share of his wisdom. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long wilt thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgressions. Now that, guys, that is a cold statement. He just said to Job, your children are dead because they sinned. Wow. If thou wouldst seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee. It's not too late, Job. And make the habitation of their righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Essentially, he says, you and your family are getting or have gotten what you deserve. You speak empty words, and your kids died for their sin. And in a sense, Bildad had the right understanding of theology, his understanding of God, but a wrong application. He was focused on God's holiness and justice, but he set aside or forgot his mercy and grace. You see, the two are brought together in Jesus for us in the cross. We know of his holiness and his justice, but we also have been embraced by his mercy and his grace. In verse 8, "For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because their days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withers before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God. They disappear quickly," is what he's saying. "And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web? He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. And if he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee." So what does he do? He looks back to the past. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31 and 2, we read, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created men upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto him." You see, chapter 4 tells us of God's judgment of sin and of his continuing faithfulness. But Bildad should not try to use that as a template against Job. God has to act this way. Because God did it this way the last time, he's going to do it this way this time. God will not always do things the same way. And it's easy for us to look at situations like Bildad and say, "You're getting what you deserve. You're caught up in sin. You need to deal with it." And that may not be the case at all. In Job's case, God is going to bless him doubly at the end of this journey. We know that. Job didn't know that. His friends certainly didn't know that. They weren't privy to those conversations. But he accuses Job of being like the reed, which looks good on the outside, but is weak inside. We read in verse 19, "Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to nothing." Job, if you weren't such a sinner, you would be blessed. Then Job answered, verse 1 of chapter 9, and said, "I know it is so of a truth. But how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hearkened himself against him, hardeneth himself against him, and hath prospered? Which removed the mountains, and they know not, which overturned them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the ways of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Job answers Bildad and agrees with him in part. He says, I know that I'm a sinner and that I can't stand before God, who is right. And God is the creator of everything. You know, when we come before God, we come before him knowing that we're sinners, knowing that we've been forgiven, that he set us free. Job had this amazing understanding of God. And even though he's struggling greatly with all that's going on in his life, he still bears witness to the faithfulness of God and his power. And I love that. In verse 11, lo, he goes by me and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he takes away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. God's under control, he says. I don't always understand what's going on, and we can bear witness to that. We can say amen. But we can also say God is awesome, just like Job. Sometimes we're not sure that he even notices our situations. That's what Job said in verse 11. I'm not even sure he even notices what's going on right now in my life. But Paul would write to Timothy a great encouraging word to him, because Timothy was there too. He was discouraged and needed to be comforted in his ministry. And Paul would say to Timothy, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's his faithfulness. That's his faithfulness to us. And we can declare with Paul the same thing. I know whom I am believed, have believed and am persuaded that he is able. He goes on to verse 14. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Job would say, as good as I might be in God's presence, I'm nothing. Paul would say the same thing. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. And he would cry out, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And we can relate to that, can we not, in our lives? And yet we know God has set his love upon us. He is our source of understanding and humility. And when things unfold in your life and mine that we don't understand, that's when we simply need to cast our cares on him, because we know he cares for us. And he's promised never to let us be overflown by the floods or burned by the fire. He will take care of us. He will see us through. And when we come through that, we will be like Job, if you will, blessed, because we'll be a little bit more like our Savior. In verse 21, though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given unto the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where? And who is he? Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. I love that verse in verse 33. It says, I have no daysman. There is no daysman between us. That word daysman could also be rendered mediator. Job says, I don't have anybody to go for me to God, that can reach to God and that can reach to me and that can bring us together. We have that in Jesus. We can never say those words. I have no mediator. I have no daysman. Who can bring us together? Paul would declare, for there is one man, one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We don't need or want any other person between us and the Father. That's where we need to find ourselves, with our hand in Jesus' hand. My soul is weary, verse 1 of chapter 10. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man sees? Are thy days as the days of a man? Are thy years as men's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin, thou knowest that I am not wicked. And there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Again, he asks that same question. God, why are you contending with me? Is it that you don't know? Can't you see? Don't you understand? But then he answers his own question. Of course you know. Of course you know. You know. You created me. As a matter of fact, back at the very beginning of this book, God declared Job righteous, complete, perfect, amazing. And so Job has all of this running around in his head. Remember verse 9, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me unto dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. Job would ask the Lord to remember his weakness. I'm just the work of your hands, Lord, he would say. You've given me life, you've given me blessing, and you've given me preservation. Those are wonderful testimonies. Even in the midst of this suffering, he says, I have much in you. If I sin, verse 14, then thou markest me and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. See thou mine affliction. For it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes in war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye have seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness as darkness itself and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Job circles back to, I don't understand. It's not getting better, Lord. It's getting more difficult. Perhaps you have said those very words. In verse 20, Job says, cease, Lord, leave me alone. I just want a little relief before I die. Wow. Heavy. Heavy. But the Lord will carry Job through as he will carry us through. And we'll take a time out until next week. And then we'll get to meet Zophar, another encourager, kind of, not really. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the book of Job, Lord. It is a challenge to us, to be sure, because it is a heavy message. And we see the struggles of Job, Father, and even the struggles of his friends. And Father, how we can identify with those things in our own lives from time to time, perhaps even now. And I pray, Lord, that we would have our hope stirred up, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would stir our hearts, would help us to rise above that which challenges us, which causes us, Lord, to begin to lose hope. As we see our own imperfections and our own shortcomings, Lord, and our own weaknesses, and we realize, Father, that we are not what we would like to be as we minister to others in our family, in our fellowship, Lord, in our community and beyond. But the key is to remember that although we're not all that we should be, you are all that we will ever need. I pray the Lord would remind you of that tonight, that he would encourage your heart and strengthen you, that he would draw you close, that he would give you refreshment as you sleep tonight and new opportunities to serve him in the coming days. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.